Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Erica Much filling in for Dave Pezzo this morning. Thank you for joining us. Always love phone calls at 580-KIDO, 580-5436, or email jstone@petsofinancial.net. So last time we were here, we were talking spring cleaning. So just wanted to check in and see if anybody did that and how it went. So if you want to give us a call and let us know, we'd love to hear from you. But also we wanted to talk about a couple different things. First, we read an interesting, very interesting article on the world in 2030. So we're going to go into that a little bit next hour. But this hour, we want to talk also about why so few people actually invest in the stock market. Crazy to think about that only 55% of Americans actually own stock. Isn't that crazy? And it's easier to do today. And the reason I'm looking at these numbers is in 2002, when it wasn't quite as easy, it was more expensive. We had just gotten through, of course, the tech wreck and everything that went with September 11th and all those crazy events. And there were 67% of Americans owning stock. So why has the number gone down so much when it's so much easier to do? There are DIY firms all over with Robinhood. You can open directly with TD Ameritrade, Schwab. There's all sorts of firms around that you can go in, buy stock for free. So why don't people do it? So Eric and I were talking about this a little bit, and we started to wonder if it's because now we're back to getting carried away on investing. So you buy the GameStops of the world. You buy the next most speculative thing that you can find. But of course, you don't buy it when it's cheap. You don't hear about it then. You buy it once it's gone way up. And then you sit around and you think, oh, see, now it went down. This didn't work. And so you sell and you look for the next greatest thing, Bitcoin maybe. And you say, again, buy it high, doesn't work, and you sell it. So it becomes this rotation of buying high, selling low, buying high, selling low. And finally you step out and you say, see, the market doesn't work. We look at it differently. That's not really investing. That's gambling. That's speculating. That's taking undue risk when you can just buy the great corporations of the world and go away. I don't understand why people look at this so like it's so difficult. It's probably the greatest wealth builder of all time. And it's up by the S&P 500, 77% of the time you will make money year over year in the market. So why do we look at it like it's probably the exact opposite? So when you look at this and you say, I really want to create wealth, I want to be independent, I want to retire early, you have all these goals, but you don't take the chance of investing because you're so worried that 23% of the time you might lose money. Yes, there are events all the time. Our income story, greatest income story never told, we like to call it. It's just the S&P 500, and you look at the dividends that pays out over 40 years versus investing and reinvesting those. And what does that look like? If you just take some time and you actually look at the numbers, it's a very, very simple thing to do. So is it because you don't have anyone to go to for advice? Maybe you need to take a step and say, you know, because we're back to hearing people say, hey, my buddy day trades Bank of America. They buy it in the morning because it goes up every single day and they sell it in the afternoon. So I asked, of course, well, does it go up every day? Well, no, of course not. Well, then the days it doesn't go up, what does he do? Well, he doesn't sell that day. And then he puts stop loss in at different places so that, of course, if it does go down. So he gets overly clever when I think, well, why don't you just buy a mutual fund and go away and go enjoy your life? But instead, it becomes almost like an addiction. And then they start to compare. And like Dave and we always talk about, comparison is really the thief of joy. You look at everyone and you say, look how much they've done. Look at how they've made money. They drive a Tesla. I don't get a Tesla. So you sit there and you think, well, how come they have a Tesla? Do you even know if they paid cash for it? Or maybe they have debt. So comparison is never a good way to invest or to do anything in life. If you're content with who you are and what you're doing, that's the best place to be. But we want to encourage people, you know, maybe don't look at the next fad. Don't start collecting stock. Don't day trade. It works really well when the market's going straight up. But what if it's not? Yes, I know we hit record highs again. There's still so much uncertainty in the world. COVID's still here. It doesn't appear to be going away. So that's something that everybody starts to look at and say, yeah, but what about this? What about this? This time is different, which is a very dangerous way to look at investing. It's always different. We always have different situations and negative things going on. That doesn't mean we don't invest. So we want to tell people, if you're concerned, you don't know how to do this, just at least start investing in your 401k. If it's there, get going. Get at least the match. That's the perfect way to start, but then make sure it's invested.
Right. And I think it's funny when people come in for a meeting for the first time and they're talking about their kids saying, you know what, I really want to get them started because I waited too long. I want to do this. And we're talking about, okay, let's just get going on it. Nobody comes in and says, I wish I wouldn't have invested 10 years ago. Right. Everybody says, I wish I would have gotten started sooner.
Mm-hmm. And then they feel like they're behind. So how do we catch up? Actually, I met with a gentleman a couple of weeks ago and he made that comment. He said, I only have this amount of money and I'm 60 some years old. I need this to get to $1 million by the time I'm 70 so I can retire. So what I've been doing is watching for dips in the market. And that last week, if I would have bought then when it went down 2%, I could have made like $8,000 or $9,000. I can't believe I didn't do that. I just need to be watching closer. And the stress on him because he was trying to time the market and get in and watch for those downturns instead of just putting it away. But he says, if I just put it away and it goes down, there's no way I can retire. So he literally put the money in July of 2020 and took it out this year instead of just being patient and letting it work. And of course, he's buying, well, I bought this sector and I bought this. So he was putting all this thought into it. But when it really came down to it, he was just so lost on what to do. So he thought, if I can just get this one time correction so I can get back in, I'll be okay in the future. So those are sad positions to be in too. So don't make drastic decisions. Don't get out just because you feel this time you can't make any money. The market's going to continue to go up. It always does. Yes, we're going to have corrections. Of course we are. That's part of it. But on the long term, it always goes up. All right. So let's just jump to Jim real quick. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, Jennifer and Erica. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
Nice to hear you back pinch hitting for old Dave.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we like it when he goes away once in a while so we can take over.
And it's also nice to know that KIDO's phones are working these days.
Yes, they're very high tech too. So, yes.
Anyway, I just wanted to pump the old, Caldwell and be your first caller. And anyway, I'm still virus free, and I'm still vaccine free, and I'm still Delta virus free, and or is it variant? I guess they call it a variant.
Yes, that's what we've heard.
That's whatever good. Happened to Alpha, Beta, Omega? Have they come yet?
They will, I'm sure.
I mean, it's all in the playbook. Mm-hmm. So, whatever the hell. But, anyway, well, I'm addicted. I'm addicted, but I like to buy stocks, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, and Dave would always say, don't necessarily buy individual stocks. Well, I've got my own mutual fund, and to me, it's just fun to do.
Yeah.
And so, you don't worry about it. You know, don't invest money you can't afford to lose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are certain principles that are told to people over and over and over again, and some of those people are old enough to get it, but they never do.
Right, right.
So I've told Dave, you know, it must get awfully frustrating just trying to tell these people. And then later today there'll be a show about investing safely. I don't know, he might use the word investing, but no loss, you know, yeah. Participate in the market.
Yep.
And it's just a scam.
Yep.
I mean, you know, there's no such a thing.
Right.
And so anyway.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I don't think we get frustrated with people because it's almost like learning a foreign language, right? When you're investing, you don't know what you don't know. So when people start, of course, they get nervous or they don't know what. And what we try to do is just educate them on how easy this can be. And I would honestly say the majority of people shouldn't own individual stocks because your optics go to that one holding and you watch it go up and down. If it's in a mutual fund, it's a little smoother and easier for people to tolerate than the big swings. And plus, there's a lot of education, which you enjoy doing, but a lot of people will collect stock because they heard it on Motley Fool or one of these talk shows that they think, oh, that one sounded really good, but then they don't know when to sell it. So that's why a lot of times a mutual fund, when people are starting, is the most appropriate and easiest way to get started.
Well, the thing is, buy a company that has a pretty good record, that's been around probably, you know, pretty well, and just rely on the company, mm-hmm. like Chevron or whatever the hell. You know, they're probably going to be around tomorrow. But the problem is people are too focused on money. there are two, you know, wins and losses. Just buy it and hold it and forget it.
Yeah, I think that's how they measure success is.
Diversify. And I'm not, you know, I have some mutual funds. I have some of those ETFs, whatever they are.
Well, and a few bonds. You should know what they are if you're buying them, hunt it.
Well, the other day, this is kind of a success story. You know, a couple of Mondays ago, the market went down about 600 points or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, right before that, I'm looking at my statement, and I noticed there's $10,000 that, you know, more than I should have. Well, anyway, called a bond. So I had this $10,000.
Good.
So I'm telling my financial advisor what to do. She wanted to buy Citibank. I wanted to buy National Australia Bank. So we bought both. And so we happened to get that, get in a pretty good time and everything. So.
Good.
That's always. Right. Anyway, I just wanted to say hi to you all. What have you done to Tom these days?
You know what? Tom has a little boy that plays a lot of sports, and his focus is there right now, which is great. But we'll have him back for sure.
Well, it's nice to know they're playing sports, and hopefully, you know, as I understand it, when you play sports, you need to be able to breathe oxygen.
Yes.
And that's kind of hard to do when you're wearing a mask.
Yep, they're not wearing masks out there, so that's good.
Good. Well, take care. Have a great day. Hope you get a lot of calls.
Thanks. We appreciate you starting them off.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a few more financial blunders and different stories, but we're also going to jump into the world in 2030. Give us a call, 580-KIDO. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Erica Much filling in for Dave Pezzo this weekend so he can get away and go enjoy himself. Looks like summer is finally cooling down a little bit.
Yes, it will be nice to have a little break from the heat.
Yes, it will. All right, give us a call at 580-KIDO, 580-5436, or email works too, jstone@petsofinancial.net. All right, so I want to talk a few more, I guess, more topical things that we've seen coming up recently that hadn't for a while. One of them is reverse mortgages are back. Good or bad, I'm not going to comment on that because there's a lot of reasons that people do need them. But the few that we've seen weren't super appropriate. So if you're working with a financial advisor, before you jump into something like a reverse mortgage, which is basically taking and not paying on your home anymore, if you have debt that gets wiped out, and sometimes you can actually pull cash out. I know with the higher values of homes, that's become very appealing to people because they say, you know, I've got $1 million house now. I want to use some of that equity. But a lot of times with the amounts you can borrow, if you owed already, it just barely pays off that loan. So you're not technically accessing cash, and they're very expensive. There's a lot of education that goes into them. But of course, the people that are educating you usually are the ones that are also selling them. So make sure that you contact anybody, maybe an impartial financial advisor that you may know, and just say, hey, I'm really thinking about doing this reverse mortgage. Is there another option for me? What do you think about it? And just let someone else talk through it with you.
A lot of people just get stuck in the mindset of, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is the reverse mortgage is the only option. So just talking to somebody is important. And it just reminds me, I had a gentleman come in, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, and we're sitting down and we're talking, and he's kind of, you know, has a great job now, wants to start contributing to his 401k, and is thinking about buying a house. And I mean, the market is just crazy right now, and he's trying to save to get that down payment. And we're talking through it, and he all of a sudden just looks at me and says, do I have to buy a house? And I was kind of blown away by that comment, but it just, in his mind, this was the next step. This is a natural progression. And he said, I really don't want to have a house. I would like, you know, the landlords to come in and fix the toilet. I don't want to need to replace a roof when I have to. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about why he felt like he needed to buy a house, and he thought he needed it to accumulate wealth. Now, we always talk about in the office, houses are a roof over your head. You can't eat the shingles off your roof. So him not wanting to have that extra financial burden and just feel like he needed it because that's what society tells you, it was an eye-opening conversation for him because he was like, oh, I don't have to. Mm-hmm. Said, no, there's nothing wrong with that. He has flexibility to go and live different places. Maybe in the future he can work remotely. So there's no problem.
Yeah, and buying a house, I was just talking to the people that had the house for about 11 years, and they're putting in new roof, new this, new air conditioner, HVAC, and they're just adding up all these costs. And they're like, man, houses are money pits. They're great. I mean, you have to have a place to live, but they are absolutely expensive at times. All right, you hear the music. We are up to a break, and we'll be back in the next hour, and we're going to talk a bit more about the world in 2030, but we also would love some phone calls, so please give us a call. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Thank you for joining us. Jennifer Stone and Erica Much filling in for Dave Petso today. Hoping you guys get out and enjoy this weekend. Hopefully it's not quite so hot. All right, we would love some phone calls. 580-KIDO, 580-5436, jstone@petsofinancial.net. Couple things that we wanted to share just a little more information on before we jumped into the year in 2030. But one of them was, Erica had a case that was interesting. One of our clients was sold life insurance on their minor children. And this is always a hard topic because, of course, we love our kids and we want to do what's best for them. But children don't tend to be income producing. They don't bring anything to the table. They actually are very expensive. So insuring on their life for reasons, especially expensive reasons like this, isn't normally appropriate. It seems like every time we see these, it's somebody's friend has gotten into the business or family member and they're now selling life insurance. So just make sure that when you're being approached with these different types of products, that they actually are appropriate for the situation that you're in. Always ask. It's never a bad thing to ask questions. Another one I wanted to touch on real quick was people getting ready to retire. The market has done really well. The market's accounts are at highs. And a lot of people think it's time that I retire early. Also remember these good times, there will be a correction. A lot of times these good times build up the reserve for when we do have those corrections. So if you're just barely there with the numbers today, maybe you're not quite ready to retire. There's a lot of expense when you first initially retire and you're not at Medicare age with health insurance. There are also freedom. Freedom brings a lot more spending. Everyone says, now I won't eat out. I have all the freedom to, you know, choose when I eat, how I eat, what I wear. I won't have money to spend on clothes. Nope, now you spend it on fun stuff, and you do end up spending more than you think. So just look at those numbers, and if you have no margin, and it should be a good margin, not just a little bit, maybe you need to work just a few more years. It's much easier to keep those higher paying jobs, which most of us have towards the end before we retire, than it is to step into something that you don't want to do.
And nobody wants to change their lifestyle when you hit retirement. Like you said, you want to go out and enjoy. If you've been working, you know, full time, you don't have the flexibility to go and do those things. Mm-hmm. So just having that freedom needs a little bit more money.
Yeah. Most people don't retire to just sit home and look at each other. That's not what they thought retirement would be. So just make sure that you actually have a plan for what you want to do and that you can afford to do it. All right. So now I want to jump into a couple things before. Again, I keep saying we're going to get to the year in 2030, but this one was really interesting to me. It kind of goes back to why don't more people invest? Do you realize the stock market is actually over 400 years old? This isn't an experiment. This isn't something we're just trying. This has been around for a very long time. They actually had bubbles back then too, where they would run companies up and then they went, oh my goodness, and it would drop. This is not new at all. So it's funny that we sit there and think about how in the near term, I can't lose money. People have been doing this forever. And go back to the market's up 77% of the time. Then we get into October. It's always the worst month, you know, sell in May, go away, buy back in November, all those silly, catchy phrases that you hear. October's not a down month normally. Historically, it's up, but it's volatile. That means it goes up and down a lot during that month. It just moves a lot. September is actually the worst month. That doesn't mean sell and don't get out before September, because these are just averages and you'll sell in the one that it ends up going up. So don't do that. We're not saying market time at all. These are just some interesting statistics, right? And the U.S. market makes up 40% of the world market, followed by Japan, China, Hong Kong, and the U.K. The bull and bear analogy, I thought this was interesting. This comes out of California, and it's the way that they fight, because they used to fight bulls and bears, and the bears always take a defensive pose and strike up, and the bulls are more on the offensive and attacking, and they strike down. So what they think is because the bear, the bear strikes down, the bull strikes up. So when the bear strikes down, that's when the market's turning down. But when the bull actually is coming up underneath, that's showing a offensive move to take out the bear. So they watched this when they used to fight and said this is a good way to kind of explain how the market goes.
We have a pretty cool statue in our office of the bull and the bear, and mm-hmm. we like to see who's going to win, but it always looks like the bull is going to pull through and come up.
I think that's the optimism yes, that we have at our office, true. Right? Because we sure don't want the bear to win.
Nope.
Yeah. And then the most expensive stock per share is Berkshire Hathaway. Most people know that, but it's up over $433 per share, which is quite impressive, I guess. But when you look at it, it talks about stock splits, right? It just never split away from what it looks like. The earliest, this one was great. The earliest investing book dates from 1688. So the things that we talk about have been talked about since 1688. It says, never advise anyone to buy or sell shares, or never listen to advice for stock picking. Accept both your profits and your regrets. When you speculate, you're going to lose some money and you need to be prepared. Profit in the stock market, this one's kind of cute, is goblin treasure. Sometimes profit is very high, sometimes it is very low. He who wishes to become rich must have money and patience. Isn't that crazy? That's over 300 years old, and they're still talking the same way we talk today. This one I remember, Erica didn't because she's young, when shares actually traded in fractions instead of dollars. So you used to say, hey, I want to buy Micron at 15 and a half or whatever the price was, and they used fractions instead of decimals, which now you look back at that and think, well, that was kind of silly. So now we actually trade it in a way that makes some sense. This goes back to what we were talking about. The first stock market bubble was from 1720. And it was interesting because it was actually a company called the South Sea Company, and it traded in the UK. They thought it was going to do really well. Everyone bought into it, and it went down just like every other bubble, but back in 1720. So you look at some of these historical facts and you say, isn't it interesting that we preach the same thing and we're still scared to invest?
It's 400 years old.
Yeah.
There's bubbles. There's inflation. There's mm-hmm. scary times. But everybody always says this time is different.
Yep. And then they miss out. Crash.
Exactly.
And then the greatest wealth building instrument in the world you do not participate in. All right. We're going to jump to Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, ladies. How you doing?
Great.
Good. How are you?
Well, it's only money, so I don't know what we're worried about.
Exactly.
But early on, you were talking about investing, and I'm thinking, well, we skipped a point. What it took me about 50 years to learn it, but once you have the resources to comfortably live day to day, pay your bills and whatnot, then you can relax, and that learns you to. They're forcing you to learn to accept responsibility for your own well-being. Once you've got that covered, oh, okay, now let's do the investing thing. You relax more. You have money in your pocket. And it's amazing what a few dollars left over at the end of the month will do for you.
Yeah. Yep. Comfort of being able to get by is a huge thing. And not living paycheck to paycheck. But it kind of goes back to Dave's coffee illustration, right? Because yep. everybody is willing to splurge on things that they enjoy, and they always feel like they can't quite afford to invest. And we think it should be the exact opposite. You can't afford not to invest, and maybe splurging on those smaller things could be set aside until you get something started.
Yeah, you learn to be frugal. Mm-hmm. Once you can, well, not necessarily buying the cheapest thing, but buying the best thing that's going to last forever or last as long as you need it to, you end up having that money left over, and it's a surprise when it happens.
Yeah, it is. But you've done well, see? And you're comfortable and happy, right?
Well, that's only because I'm looking after Charlotte's educational fund, so.
There you go.
But anyway, in one other, you were talking about the first investment book, and there's another book out there called The Richest Man in Babylon.
Uh-huh.
And that's one that the same sort of thing. First you work hard, and then you pay yourself. You have earned to keep part of what you've part of what you've made, part of what your hard work has been for.
Sure. Sure, very good. Yep.
But anyway, that's all I had. I just wanted to get out there and say that.
All right, Terry, we appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Terry.
Yep.
All right, we'll see you Tuesday.
See you Tuesday.
All right, great.
Bye.
Bye. All right, so we'd love some more phone calls. But thank you, Terry and Jim. We always love talking to you both. One of the things that, let's just touch on this real quick, and we're going to get into the year 2030. 10 years from now, and this is from one of the, we feel, American funds. We don't promote any mutual funds, but I do want to give the little disclaimer. Of course, we're not suggesting you buy or sell any investments, like Dave always says. But I did want to bring up some information that they provided to us, which is quite, I don't know, thought-provoking, I guess. So when you look back at COVID in 10 years from now, you're going to actually think maybe this is more like our generation's Pearl Harbor moment. It came and it made so many innovative and behavioral changes because it was such a big problem. That's what kind of Pearl Harbor did as well. I look at that and I say, the U.S. artillery at that time was 75% horse-drawn. I mean, 1941 seems, I mean, I wasn't alive then, but it doesn't seem really that long ago when you think of all the advancements we've made. Now we talk to people whose kids are in the military and they fly drones from Florida overseas, and that's how they blow up the bad guys. They don't have to go there and fight. Some do. I'm not saying that's not true, but I'm just saying, look at all the technological changes and advancements that we have. This could change how we deal with education. We talk about kids going to school or living at home and doing online classes. Do you think they can continue to charge $60,000 a year for school if the kids are sitting home and don't go and have the college experience? Or do you think maybe we'll look at this a little different? Don't know, but it's something to really think about. What about healthcare? How are they going to do things? We're going to share some statistics on some of the upcoming with blood tests for cancer and all these interesting new technologies that are coming up. It's amazing when you look at it. So when we look back at this in 10 years and we think, yeah, COVID was bad, I know, but it was one of those things we go through. We have these things that come up. But how did it change the world going forward? That's what's interesting. So we're going to talk more about that, but let's take a break real quick so that we can have a little more time before the end of the hour and talk about some of these interesting technological advances. That's the word I'm looking for. But again, give us a call, 580-KIDO. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Excuse me. Jennifer Stone and Erica Mutch filling in for Dave Pezzo. Obviously got a frog today. Sorry about that. Please give us a call, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. All right, we're going to talk a little more about the year and 2030 and what the next, not quite 10 years, obviously, but close, has for some of the technology that this firm seems coming in. We kind of agreed with it and found it very interesting. The one that I really think is cool is the healthcare innovation. I know it's expensive. I know things are costly and everybody hates healthcare right now, but think about how far we are. Dave is a huge Star Trek junkie. He loves how they could like wand people and find out what was wrong with them. I kind of look back at my daughters watched the show called Grey's Anatomy, and at the end they had this tube that they would send people through and would look for issues with them. And you just think about this stuff and it seems far-fetched, but I think we're going to be there, that people can do things and just scan your body and go, oh, that spot looks wrong. Or like one of the others for cancer, check it with just a simple blood test.
Right. They were talking about just a liquid biopsy of your blood. So you just take this sample and it can detect the earliest stages of cancer. So before it even becomes an issue, just the cells that are kind of floating around. Think about what incredible having that knowledge before, mm-hmm. so you can take care of that before it becomes a problem, is just huge.
It is.
And then the wearable devices.
Yes.
So having something that's, a lot of people have eye watches and Fitbits and things, but this takes it even further to say, okay, something is going wrong. This person is about to have a heart attack. Let's call 911 already before it actually happens so that mm-hmm. the EMS people show up at your door and there it is.
Yeah. We had a client that waited to buy the new watch, the Apple Watch, because it had this cellular on it. Because with the old ones, you have to be tethered to your phone. So if you walk away from your phone, they don't work for calling. And she got it because one of her neighbors fell. And I know as we get older, that does happen. She fell and she didn't have the whatever that is where you push it and people come to you. But they actually had the phone on her watch. So she was able to call someone to come rescue her. Those are the things that come from this that we don't even think about. Like Apple, that's another one that blows my mind. The iPhone was really just created in 07. That's a day ago, it seems like. And Dave talks about it all the time because he does like his Apple. I remember him coming back from a trip and he said, I saw this cool phone and all you do is touch the sun and the weather came up. You think about how amazing at that time that truly was, because we didn't have really much technology. I mean, we did have cell phones and things like that, but you look at how hard they were to use versus I want to know how to get somewhere. You push a button and it shows you a map. I mean, those kind of advances in just the near term are amazing.
Right. And now you can just look up that direction on your phone and it automatically sends to your car. You get in and it's already there.
Yep. And we're worried about what's going on in businesses. You think this is going to slow down? You don't think that you should be buying into some of the stuff that does it? I mean, great corporations in the world are going to be great corporations, but they also have times when they fall behind. We see that with companies like GE and HP, and some of these companies do run on rough times, but getting ahead and being able to invest in some things that you go, oh, wow, look at what they're doing. It's interesting. That's why sometimes individual stocks are fun, but if you don't know how to pick them, get a technology mutual fund, buy a technology ETF or something along those lines if you're just interested in how it works. I'm not saying it's cheap. I'm just saying it's interesting. All right. We know this. Everyone talks about it. No one takes cash anymore. They don't. We went on a trip, and I don't know if it's COVID related or what. People say it's dirty, but we were on a trip and we wanted to pay with cash and they just kind of looked at us. It was so funny to watch. Oh, we don't take cash. You went, you don't take cash. Okay, so fine. But we took care of it. Every single place we went, no one wanted cash.
I mean, I think about it personally and I very rarely have cash on me. You have PayPal and Venmo and your watch can even just be used to pay the bill at the grocery store. So it is pretty incredible that it's not something that I think about, oh, I need to go to the bank to take out $20 so I can pay for this anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And the one thing to think about too, though, is the more technology you use, just be careful on your security. It's so easy to hack into things. We know of a young gal that had her Venmo hacked and she could literally see, because she got alerts on her phone, payments getting sent out. And she couldn't go in and stop it until she just canceled her bank account so they couldn't get into it. So use dual authentication. It's really a good and easy way to do things. So use those type of things.
Right. And we heard a story of someone that had let someone at the bar or something had let them use their phone. And since those Apple phones are so easy, you can just click on the Venmo app. And they had actually Venmoed themselves money. A stranger did this. And so they cleaned out this person's bank account because they thought they were being nice by letting them make a phone call. So just super cautious about what you're doing. That one's not even more cyber. That's personal security. Just be cautious.
Yeah. Yep. And change your email passwords. Change everything frequently. I know it's a pain. It's a hassle. And there are some softwares, I've not used them, or apps that will do it for you and create complex passwords. I haven't used them, but just be careful when you're setting this stuff up. All right. So a reason we're talking about technology is it's interesting with the world that we're in. I know sometimes it's like, how does this all tie back? Why do you talk about the innovative things that are coming up? Well, it's because we're looking forward in the world and saying right now we are so negative. Everything is so negative. Every news article, the world is falling apart. Politics is a mess. And the more negative we are, the more it disrupts every part of our lives. So going into technology and saying, look what's coming in the future, is our way of trying to say, don't think there isn't a future because it's so hard mentally right now. You think and say, is it because there's so much access to everything? There's more than just us talking on the radio. You can go look at whatever we're talking about and Google it and find out bad things about what we're talking about. So what we're trying to say is, I'm very optimistic about the future. I'm excited about technological changes and things that we're going to be able to do that we never even dreamed of, partially because of COVID. So that's why we're talking about this. Don't let yourselves get so scared to do anything that you won't invest because you're so fearful of what's going on right now. Look at all the cool things that are coming. We're going to share a few more of those because we do find them very interesting. But please understand there's a reason behind what we're doing. It's getting you excited about things that maybe you wouldn't have even thought about being excited about.
Right. And if you have something that you've heard that you would like to share with us, we're always open to hearing that. So please call in and tell us what you think 2030 is going to look like.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And everybody has their own ideas, right? It's going to be, I do know we'll have a future. That's one of the things I'm going to say. But what will it look like? How will you be living differently? All right. I do believe I'm going to look over at Kevin here and he'll nod at me if we need a break now or if we have a few more minutes. So, yeah, we're going to talk a few more minutes and then we'll take a break here. So another thing to look at, too, is semiconductors. This one, I know we can't talk in great detail, but Erica's more aware of it just because she's kind of connected a little closer. But they're everywhere. You look at what cars do now. There's a reason we're behind a little bit because they can't produce enough. But my car, everyone's car, unless they're really old, are computers on wheels.
Right.
They really are. It's amazing what they do. Some of it I'm not super fond of because they take over and they shut your car off. And if you go too far over the lane, it bumps you back. And then it tells you you're sleepy. And it's like, well, you just threw me back. I'm not sleepy. So there's some things that I don't like, but it's amazing what they can do. Right. It's, I don't know. I sometimes just get blown away. And then you look at, like Erica was talking about with the wearables. Maybe one day it'll just sense on your skin if your blood sugar is low, if you're diabetic. I mean, these don't seem that far off.
Right.
Or you didn't sleep well. You need to go take a nap or whatever. I mean, I know it does some of this now, and these are just basic things. But I do know, too, with the heartbeat thing, what if your heartbeat's irregular? Your doctor can go, oh, your watch picked it up at this time, and you can send it over, and they can monitor you long term.
Yeah, and I think even with nutrition, making sure vitamins and minerals and proteins and carbs can all be tracked. Mm-hmm. So let's say you just have this goal and you look at your watch and all of a sudden it says you're lacking 43 grams of protein today or whatever that number is.
Yeah.
It'll just be able to automatically tell you.
Yeah, and we'll talk on this one real quick too, is glasses.
Mm-hmm.
They have these new glasses that they're working on that actually if someone walks up to you, it'll read who they are and give you their name and some history so that if you forget, because you meet a lot of people who they are, it's going to come right up on your glasses so you can say, hi, Joe, it's sure nice to meet you.
Yeah, and even just Googling from the glasses. I've heard, so if you're looking at a car and you want to know what kind of car that is, you just look at it and it pops up and tells you this is a Subaru Ascent 2020, whatever it might be.
Does that sound a little distracting and scary too, huh?
Well, and they were talking about what are kids going to do on a test.
If you
have glasses on and you can Google the answer for anything, where's the limit?
Yeah. No, kids can't wear glasses. So no, poor kids exactly. That can't see or sitting there with nothing. Yeah. But it's just amazing what you can think about of different things that are coming up. So let your mind wander and just say, give us a call. Tell us what you might think is new and coming up in the world. We'd love to hear from you and talk about it a little bit. All right. We are going to take a break now and give us a call. 580-KIDO. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Erica Much filling in for Dave Petso this morning. We are going to jump right to the phones. Good morning, Roz.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Hi, you know, I am really old, and I don't know that I will be around at 20, 30. So can I ask you another question?
Of course.
I'm new to investing, and I have searched diligently for a place to go, a club, investment club, not the kind where you have to put in money and group invest,
right.
But just for information, is there any such animal available?
You know, Roz, I have not seen one. I've actually saw a couple where people would just gather as friends and talk about it. But not in a long, long time. Erica, have you?
I haven't. I had one client that used to help run an investment club, but I don't know if she's doing that any longer.
Yeah, but there were the ones where you actually pool your money, I think, right?
No, they would just talk about
the
investments.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, Roz, we haven't. It's hard. It's hard where to get some information. Of course, we're going to always say listen to this show and hear some of the education that we put into it. Or maybe talk to an advisor and just say, you know what, I want some impartial advice. I'll be willing to pay $100, $150 just to do so. And then you can do it on your own. Some are very willing to do that.
Right. And that's even without $500,000
yes.
or something to play with.
Hmm? Yeah. Some have limits. We don't feel that you should limit people for getting access to investments. But a lot of people do have limits. It's a tricky one. You can call around a little bit. There are some good advisors in town that I know don't set limits, but you might just check around a bit.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Sorry I don't have a better answer.
That's all right.
All right. Have a great weekend. All right. We also got an email from a gentleman that's contemplating taking Social Security. He was leaning towards maybe potentially taking it at 62. He has maybe a few health concerns here or there, not a lot. And he's wondering if he could just quit working and take Social Security. It's hard because at age 62, you are still very young. Life expectancy, with all the technology that we're talking about, probably will push you into the 90s. So if you have 30 years of life expectancy and you take it at 62, there's not a lot of growth when they do cost of living adjustments. If you earn any money, they take away part of it because you're retiring early. Normally, we say, unless your life expectancy is 20, 15, 10 years, really, really shortened, we do say at least wait till full retirement just to maximize that benefit. You've worked a long time. You've paid in the system for a very long time. You, as much as possible, should maximize what you're able to take from it.
And it also depends on if you're married or single, too. Yep. So if you have a spouse that you want to make sure is taken care of in the future, letting that Social Security grow is important because you only get one Social Security when one of the spouses passes away. So it's the higher of the benefit. So if the gentleman passes away, but he let his Social Security grow, then the wife or the spouse will get that higher benefit after he passes.
Yep. And normally, if possible, we suggest people wait till 70.
Right.
I mean, when you have such a long-term time horizon, why not let that grow by the guaranteed, under current law, 8% per year?
You can't find anything that's guaranteed 8% right now at all.
No. And I know it's hard because you get to that point. You're like, well, it's here. I've worked. I don't want to give up those years. I know I looked at a chart and I'll break even if I take it at 62 by the time I'm 64 or whatever the numbers may be. But it's not quite that straightforward. Like Erica said, if one of you lets it grow till 70, that higher amount will last for both lives. And that's super important. If you have a younger spouse or even if you don't, just to have that higher benefit of secured money coming in. All right. So a couple other things on our lovely world in 2030. It's interesting when you look at it and you really think about how much things will change. We know this. The digital entertainment's taking center stage, right? We all know that people sit at home and stream videos and watch their Netflix and Hulu or whatever your favorite one is. And everyone's coming up with a new streaming service. You can, by the way, check how many of those you have. If you're looking at budgeting, people end up going, oh, I'm going to try Hulu. They sign up for a free service and then they don't stop it. And pretty soon you're paying for all of these different streaming services that pretty much offer the same type of stuff. So make sure you're not paying for more than you're using.
And kind of going back to what you were talking about with changes with COVID too, though, think about the movie theaters, how they've changed already, how releases are coming at home on those streaming services. And then virtual reality is like an up and coming thing. Being able to attend a concert that's in Colorado from your home in Nevada or wherever is just interesting to think about.
It is. And then you wonder too, some of it is, boy, we're losing a lot of personal connection, right?
Right. And as we were talking about earlier, sometimes sporting events, the ambiance is just pretty cool. So whether you're in the stadium or actually sitting on your couch watching the game, it's a totally different experience. And what are you paying for?
Yeah, exactly. We went to our first concert last weekend in forever. They had a country concert. And just being around the people again, didn't really matter how good the music was. It was just seeing people out and about a little bit was really cool. Mm-hmm. So those kind of things, too. Just looking at what do we really want? Do we want to be around more people or we don't? That's kind of where we're at. This one I don't know about. I still, and I know we're here on a lot of different cars already, but I don't know. Giving up control?
I kind of like the idea of being able to call a taxi and just have it show up at your door and there's nobody in there. It's kind of cool. You just jump in, it takes you to your place. And I mean, I know the technology isn't quite there yet, but we're getting there.
We are. But this goes back, excuse me, to the cars that we're driving currently, right? If you turn too fast, it actually doesn't control it quite right. And I know there's more human error than there ever is from a computer, but sometimes you think about, am I sure I'm ready to give that control up?
But it's helpful for maybe older generations that either can't drive anymore or maybe don't want to drive. Maybe it gives them more opportunity to say, well, I really don't like driving at night, but if I can have this service that just lets me get in a car and takes me out to the opera tonight or whatever it might be and drives them back home, maybe that gives them more life or experiences.
Yeah. And it does give that, but I'm just wondering about getting rid of does make sense, but it is just one of those that you go, oh, I'm not sure if I'm quite ready to go there yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then they go back to green machines will rule the world. We know that we're going all electric at some point. I just hope they find a solution to the mines. The lithium mines are devastating. And what do you do with the batteries? I mean, there's some stuff that they have to solve because that's not being green. If you have a green car, that destroys the planet being produced. So I'm not really sure how that one's going to play out, but you know what? I'm interested to find out.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. And then renewable energy. We're doing a lot more with solar, wind, and more than ever than we have with coal and gas. That's totally going down, and we're picking it up from other sources, and that will probably continue as well. And then there's a lot of innovative companies that are involved in this. So look for the innovative in ETFs, different types of funds that come up. We keep talking about ETFs because they're exchange-traded funds, and they actually can be in certain sectors. So if you're not comfortable trying to find an electric vehicle, one individual stock, you can probably find that in an ETF. They seem to build everything.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. Anyways, all right, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to clear up my throat so I can quit clearing it on air. And when you come back, please give us a call, 580-KIDO. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Erica Much filling in for Dave Pezzo today. Thank you for joining us again. We love doing this, and we do appreciate the phone call. So if you have one, please give us a call, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We are actually going to jump to the phones right now. Good morning, Lee Joe.
Good morning, lady.
How are you? Hello, can you hear us?
Are you I hear music.
We don't hear music. Is it gone now?
Yes, it's gone.
Okay, good. What can we help you with?
So you're talking about technology and technological advances, you know, in your cars and what have you, as far as, you know, who to invest in and keeping your money up with the technology. My question is what are we going to do? You know, obviously we're headed for technocracies, and this, you know, your car has all those chips in it and it's got all the GPS in it, and whether it's your car, your phone, or whatever it is, you know everything is known by the Google, or will be in the end.
Mm-hmm.
At which point do we look at some upward and rising company that's making cars that are four doors and a heater again? You know?
I think those are gone, unfortunately.
You don't think there'll ever be an appetite for just a car?
You know what? I have had so many people tell me that's what they want. They say, I just want a car that, and some of them actually don't want to buy new cars because of what you're talking about, right? It's too automated. It's too much. But I have not heard of a company just making a car.
Well, with maybe the current federal mandates, it's kind of a harder thing to do. But
sure.
But when that company pops up, and whatever it is, and I'm a heavy equipment operator, and I'm about sick of all the electrical over the hydraulic, over the engine management, over the emission system stuff. And if I could buy a new piece of heavy equipment today that didn't have all that, that actually, you know, fired up and ran for years without having to worry about which microchips were going to go out in it, I'd buy that tomorrow.
Yep. I've heard that. I actually had a lady come in. It was funny because we talk about how great iPhones are and all they do. And she said, I just wish I had a phone that made phone calls. She said they do so much.
Well, there's a massive hidden market there that I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe not massive, but there's some demand. I think, you know, simplicity may be where we're headed. Just like with health insurance too, we've gone overboard. We pay thousands of dollars a month for insurance that generally we don't use just in case.
Yeah.
And so now we've got the doctors setting up their own, you know, $99 a month, come in anytime you want plan, and it's a great competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get things too complicated, then people say, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to go back to simple.
And sometimes simple is good. I agree. But it is still, you got to admit, there's some pretty amazing things that have come out of this.
There are amazing things.
Yep.
There is no doubt that the invention is well beyond necessity anymore. But
yeah, for sure. All right. Well,
anyway,
thank you.
Thank you
for the call. All right. Good. And in the meantime, we did get another email, and it was talking about how do you handle inflation? Well, that's a tricky one because we've listened to a lot of economists who say this is transitory. I don't know that I necessarily 100% think that all of it is. Some of it, of course, is supply demand, right? The more we need something, the less there is, the price goes up. That's just the way it works. Interest rates being low, people borrow more money, there's more cash in the system, and that creates a lot of inflation. With that, though, some of this I don't feel is transitory. There's so much cash that was poured in. How do you handle that and absorb it? So that part of it, I think, is going to be a little bit of an issue. Don't know how long term it will be. Don't know if it's going to be a lot in 1 year and then spread out. That's really hard to know. We don't have that crystal ball to say. So to me, hedging for inflation by buying tangible assets like gold, or some people even want to use Bitcoin, which we're not going to go into Bitcoin because it's such a hard and complex topic. So we'll just touch on it and be gone. But buying gold, when you look at gold, if you look at Dave's story on our YouTube channel that talks about gold in 1980 versus the Dow in 1980, and gold's Dow at what, 1700 an ounce, and the Dow just went over 35,000, is hitting record highs, and that's ex dividend. So if you put the dividends back in, it'd be worth even more than that. I'm not sure how gold did much of anything. It doesn't produce. It doesn't give you any income. It just is a very pretty brick, which it is pretty, I agree, but it doesn't do anything. So when I look at hedging inflation, I kind of look at companies that have the potential, maybe some will increase their prices. And of course, there's always a temporary decrease in the market when inflation's really rampant. It is. But companies, I feel, good ones, have the ability to raise prices. Yes, that's passed on to the individual. I understand that. But that's a way also, right? If they have to increase the prices, things cost more. They're helping to offset the inflation. So I think great corporations of the world find ways to maneuver through high inflationary environments. I again go back to, we don't change our plan based on current events. So if you have a strong financial plan in place, then you just go through this. And it's just another time that we look back and say, COVID, inflation, whatever might be, we don't change the game plan based on what we're dealing with right at this moment. Not the long term. Slight tweaks, yes, but not long term.
And that stat you were talking about earlier, 77% of the time the market's up. That includes all of these periods of inflation, of political unrest, of, you know, wars and everything bad that can go on in the world. And still, with all of that, 77% of the time, the market is up.
Yep.
So just working through it, using different things to help.
Yeah. And just letting it, let your plan work.
Exactly.
Yeah. When these are made, most financial advisors, I'm going to put most in there, do not say, this plan will work except for this, 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 and this. So we need to watch for this, 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 and this and change it. They expect things to happen. Every event that comes historically, most of them weren't expected. It's always the events that trigger corrections or big ones, not always, but events are the big deal, right? Not inflation coming. We see it coming a little bit. Hopefully they can help with it. Again, I'm not crystal balling. All right. So I do want to talk about a couple things that are fun too here. All right. So we're going to talk about something that I'm sure Dave's mentioned many, many times, but we love it too. It's what happens, going back to timing the market, if you just miss a few days, okay? We're not talking months or years or weeks. We're just talking you're out of the stock market for just a few days. So this just goes through 2018. It's just illustrating a point. It doesn't have to be really, really currently up to date. So in 20 years, ending December of 2018, if you stayed fully invested, and this isn't even a great, great period of time, you would have averaged in the S&P around 6%, okay? If you missed the 10 best days, and no one knows when those are going to happen. It's normally right in sequence with the bad days, so you're not expecting them. If you miss 10 days in that period of time, your return dropped to 2%. 10 days in 20 years, that's crazy. Then if you missed 20 of the best days in those 20 years, your return actually dropped negative. What if you missed the 30 best days? It went down to 2.3. 40 days, 4.2. So what we're trying to say is staying in the market, letting it do what it does, even through a bad period of time, which this isn't the greatest. It's not averaging that 10 that we talked about over this 20 years. But what we're saying is if you stay in the market and you don't try to time it, you'll end up doing just fine.
Right. And I'm just looking at some numbers. So like you were saying, in 2008, if the market was down, it was negative 37%. But in 2009, just a year later, it was up 26.5%.
Yep.
So if you got out and you were scared and you said, I can't get back in, you missed out on a 26.5% increase the following year.
Yep.
Timing the market does not work. I mean, there's so many examples. 2002, a negative 22%. That following year was up 28%.
Yep.
So and you just happens. Can't do it.
Every single time, even with COVID, right? We had a couple clients that called actually on the bottom of the market, March 23rd. And they were basically saying, I have to get out. I can't do this. I can't watch it. It's different this time. You don't understand. And we try everything we can to try to convince people to stay in. Ultimately, it's their money. But if we push them to do what they won't do on their own, that's one of our main jobs. So I told her, one of them, I said, you just can't do this. I'm begging you to stay in. Told another one the same thing. So they both agreed. I talked to one couple last week. They're up 75%. From that point. That's a life-changing decision. Yes, we're measuring from the bottom, and we're not saying anything about how the market performed in the investments that we picked. I'm just saying because they stayed, tied their hands, sat on them, whatever it took them to do, that was a 75% change. We got to go. It's been great talking to you. Give us a call at the office if you have any questions.